Join us as Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll teaches us how to strengthen our relationship with God through His Holy Word.
My name's Carl Rickles, my wife Paula Rickles in the back there. We've been married 42 years, going on 43. And we're here to tell you about our kids, actually, who are out in Salt Lake City. So I'm just a representative of what God's doing out there. But I bring greetings to you guys from First Baptist Church in Powell, Tennessee, which is in Knoxville. That's where we live. We are the sending church for who you're going to hear about today. But also greetings from Awakened City Church in Salt Lake City. It's actually in a suburb of Salt Lake, Harriman. And Salt Lake is 3.5 million people. So you kind of compare that to Columbus, maybe twice the size of Columbus or so. It's a big, big city. So Harriman is where they are at. And so I just want to bring some good news from there and help you understand what's going on in the rest of the world. As we become bubbles a little bit where we're at sometimes, it's just good to hear about what God's doing elsewhere. I would love for you guys to turn to Acts 26, actually, not Acts 25. I can't imagine who made that mistake up there. But I thought we should maybe, and Ron, if I go too long, you just give me the break symbol or whatever. But I love these verses in Acts 26, verse 17 and 18. Just pick up right on the end of 17. This is a lesser known verse. We always go to Acts for our mission statement of sorts. But I came across this just the other day, and it really struck me how that God uses normal people. And Paul was giving his defense to King Agrippa, okay, as to why he's going to go to Rome and be before Caesar and such. But this is what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus. God got a hold of him, and he said, "Now I send you," okay? God said, "I'm sending you," Acts 26, verse 17, "I send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by the faith." And I just love that, how that God got a hold of Paul on that road to Damascus, and he said, "I'm sending you." And what I would call ordinary people, Paul was an ordinary person that God just got a hold of, and he used to bring not only the good news to the Jews, but to the Gentiles, most of us being in that state. As you guys are focusing a little bit on missions, I keep wanting to call this girl Lottie Moon. It's not Lottie Moon. Who is it? Annie Armstrong. Okay, I wanted to make sure I didn't get that wrong, because it's easy to get them mixed up. You know, Annie lived in the 1850s, late 1800s. Boy, was she called of God and used of God. And you all probably know more about her than I do. But, you know, she was instrumental in starting WNU, which is the women's missions. And she was instrumental in just getting the word out about missions. And she's an extraordinary lady. And she actually started what's called the Easter Offering. And of course, now it's been renamed Annie Armstrong Missions Offering. But just a phenomenal person. I do want to talk to you just briefly before I introduce you to my family. But the North American Mission Board, which is a part of Southern Baptist Convention, they have something called the SEND Network. You got to emphasize that word, SEND. But they are doing a church planting movement across the United States. And it's been in place for, since 2010. So quite a while this has been in place in major cities where there are lost people, more lost people than anywhere, in these specifically 32 cities. And you can see that 23% of all baptisms have been through these SEND cities. There are 47,600 churches that are partnered with these startup churches. So such as ours in Knoxville, Tennessee, has sent my daughter and son-in-law out. They were a part of this network, which is just fantastic. We're so proud of that. 11,000 church plants since 2010 are going on. I'm here to talk about Utah, okay? So the SEND Network is also about Salt Lake City. And my daughter, son-in-law live in a town called Harriman. I mentioned that. When they went there in 2017, there were no Christian churches in that area of 50,000 people. We drove around our first week out there. We drove around looking for a Christian church, looking for a church that would have a cross on the top of it. You can't find it. We would get so excited if we saw a church with a cross on it. Okay. I don't know about here, but in Tennessee, every street corner you're on, there's churches, okay? And I don't even care what denomination, as long as they're Protestant, basically. They got a cross on it. Typically, they're believing the right things. It's so hard to find out there. But again, that's why they went. This is my family. You'll notice something unique about those kids' names. So my daughter is Derek. She married a wonderful boy named, I said my daughter's Derek, Kristen and Derek. They met in college at a Christian college outside Knoxville called Johnson Bible College. They have five kids, Judah, Josiah, Joash, Jubilee, Jedediah. Yeah, we get them mixed up all the time, all the time. But we're getting ready to go there in 2 weeks. We've been out there 23 times since 2017. We support them 3 times a year by going and visiting. Obviously, get to see our grandkids. But trust me, they become discouraged out there. It is very, very tough ground, as your pastor knows. So they need encouragement. My daughter weeps to have family around. They don't have family. So we go out there to not only encourage them, but we also get to spend some great time with grandkids. Let's see if we can get this to go next. I may have to take a walk. We knew this may happen. I am not going to spend much time on Mormonism because that's not the point of us talking today. But you can't talk about Salt Lake without talking about Mormonism. And you can see the temple that is in the downtown. It's a phenomenal structure. But really sad that Mormonism has surpassed Southern Baptist membership. Mormonism is going up. They're at 17 point something right now. Southern Baptists are down into that 13 million range. Back in 2017, it was about 16 million members each. So, you know, you can see why the word needs to get out there for sure. It's a strange, weird belief structure. Okay, you've been in hotels and you've seen the Book of Mormon or whatever, right alongside the gospel. They add to the gospel, which Revelation says don't do. But they add to the gospel and they truly rely on the Book of Mormon heavily. Extreme financial capabilities. They are very strong business people and there's a lot of money behind that. They're not shy to go on mission. How many of you have had your door knocked on by Mormons to come by and want to talk and stuff? They're not shy. So my point is we should not be shy. And when I go out there, I don't want to be shy when I talk to Mormon people. I'm like, you come to Knoxville, Tennessee and knock on doors. Why can't I come to you here and tell you about Christ? It's a weird thing. I tried to get in a temple once. They won't let you. If you don't have the bishop recommend, you cannot go in the temple. And the bishop, they look into your whole history and your past and your family and your tithing record. You don't tithe, you ain't getting in the temple. Okay, I can just tell you that now. And there's a ward. A ward is a church that seats about 300 to 500 people. Every subdivision of 500 people, there is a ward built. And that's where they go worship. On Sundays, there are 3 different services. And so when in Salt Lake, the growth is phenomenal there. And every time you see a ward being built, you know that their subdivision is going to be built around that ward. I mean, that's how business-minded and smart-thinking they are. They're planners. They know. They build the church before the subdivisions are being built. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. I was going to say next slide, but I get to do that, don't I? Okay. So my son-in-law there, he's the pastor. They have a worship leader from, imagine this, Alabama. Okay, he's been called out there with his family and 5 children. And this picture in the bottom left corner, not real visible for you there, but that's a trailer that every morning my son-in-law hooks this trailer up and he takes it to Providence Middle School and they unload everything that you see here in your church, basically to make church work, is inside of that trailer. Okay, sound equipment, chairs, banners, drums, you name it. So it's kind of church in a box, if you will. So there's 2 different teams. They rotate every week to unload that trailer and get church set up. And they just have fantastic services, just like you guys did already today with your worship and your music. They have a great worship service. A lot of young people out there, okay? A lot of young people. I'm probably one of the oldest persons in the church, right, Paula? Perhaps. And then banners, you can see the view that they have from their church. They're not lacking in a nice view of the mountains. So they're right there in the midst of the Rocky Mountains. But I guess my point is here, we take our church for granted that we walk in on a Sunday morning and sit down and just worship. They do a lot of work to get set up. And then obviously after the service, you want to spend time fellowshipping and all that. But the pressure there is we need to get all this torn down. So you got another team that helps tear down, load up the trailer. You get home from church about 2 or 3 o'clock and you're exhausted. You're just absolutely worn out from having good worship, but all that set up also. I'm excited. They have salvations quite often and baptisms also. I just wanted to show you pictures of baptisms. This is a blow-up jacuzzi. I don't know if you guys have seen these at Costco and such. Okay. Nothing wrong with that. Full immersion, right? So my son-in-law and various people do baptisms. They have two elders in the church. They've also baptized in a reservoir that's out there in the summertime. And so it's just wonderful to see what God's doing for people. Now, in Utah, there's a lot of people moving. You hear about this from California, from Oregon, from Seattle. They're moving eastward. And a lot of them come to Salt Lake because of technology and such. So you do get a lot of Bible-believing folks coming, but you've also got a lot of the Mormon folks that are leaving the Mormon church, okay? They just can't take it anymore. They're not even allowed to read the Bible. They're not allowed to discover truths, okay? But boy, once they start doing that and they start learning that I'm being deceived here, and they learn about, you know, not only Awakened City, there are other good churches out there, but when they come to hear the truth, God just draws them. He just draws them. So that's just an example of some salvations that are going on. They also have what they call kids camp. They really can't call it VBS because people don't know what VBS is out there. We grew up with that terminology. But amazingly, they have over 300 kids show up, okay, Monday through Friday. It's incredible. And there's about 5 churches that they're partnered with in the United States. And our church in Knoxville sends about 20 youth out. And, you know, the youth are full of energy. They can handle this, right? And I'm just so excited that God takes his gospel and his information and sends it home with kids every day. It's getting into those homes of the Mormons. And then on Friday, when they do their special, the parents show up. They're sitting all in the bleachers there watching their children do a presentation from VBS. That's 300 kids. That's just a huge community involvement that they do. And ironically, on social media, the Mormon people are advocating that their kids go to this. It's just phenomenal. You would think some bad press and they would say, don't send your kids there. No, they're saying, hey, this is a great thing going on. And so that's awesome. We love that. And the same in the community. They are involved in parades. They do block parties, which most neighborhoods have a large green area with playgrounds and such. And I say we, because I've been a part of a lot of these, my wife and I, but we go in there with blow-ups and snow cone machines and popcorn makers, and the kids just come. They just come out of the woodwork with their parents. And so, of course, the people of the church are looking and, you know, trying to engage with adults and tell them about what's going on at Awakened City Church and finding out where they're at spiritually. So a block party is a very nice means to get to engage with adults. Another thing they do at Christmas, and they have a couple churches from Alabama come and help them, is to just do a Bethlehem scene at Christmas and to share the gospel with people then. And they rent camels, they rent donkeys, they rent sheep. You know, it's pretty authentic. So that's just some of the community engagement. And Derek, my son-in-law, has really been involved deeply in the community. The mayor loves him. The mayor actually took him out the other day to drive around Harriman to look at property. And then, you know, he's LDS. He's Mormon. But there's a good thing there. He's in with the police force. The police have invited him to come and speak to the city. So it's just, you know, God uses all that to really just impact things. So just in closing, you know, what can we do? We've heard about this. You know, the biggest thing you can do is pray for them, guys. Pray for the teams out there that are, it's hard. It's a hard burden to to continue in that environment. And they've been very discouraged at times. And I'm talking about the pastor and my daughter. Sometimes they have looked for God to call them to go elsewhere, somewhere easier. Okay, but God keeps coming back and reaffirming for them, nope, this is where I want you. And so they're there. They've been there for 8 years now. And they just don't see leaving until God calls them to leave. But it's certainly not out of being easy. But pray for the Mormon people in that community, 50,000, 60,000 people that have an opportunity to hear the truth from God's word. All they got to do is show up, and God will draw them. He draws them there. I would encourage you to share God's word. Share the gospel with people that you encounter every day. Because, you know, that's part of the mission. That's what we are about. Okay, it's not just for those missionary people out there to do it. It's really for us to do. Every encounter we have, look for those opportunities. And then go. If you have an opportunity to do a mission trip, oh my goodness, it'll change your life. It'll change your... God uses it to teach you more than sometimes the people that you're going to minister to. Okay, so if you ever have an opportunity, do a mission trip. And then last, give, give, give. I'm not here to get you to give money. Trust me. God doesn't need our money in the least, right? They joke about one of the worship leaders. She went to high school with Tim Tebow. Okay, we all say, wow, if Tim could just give $1 million, you know, which he could easily do, right? We could have a church out there. God doesn't work that way. He doesn't work that way typically. Okay, sometimes he does, but for the most part, he works for normal people, normal paychecks, to accomplish his will. And if God wants a property and a building out there, God will make that work. But it won't be, you know, through asking people to give large sums of money, things like that. God has his way of doing it. But you can give to Lottie Moon, to the Easter offering, through the cooperative program with the Southern Baptist Convention. I mean, all that money with Annie Armstrong goes to local missionaries, or not local, but across the United States. And I should say, this church, Awakened City, was sponsored by the Southern Baptist for 5 years. And then it's a declining scale because as they grow, they have more people in the church giving. So, you know, I think the Southern Baptists do a really great job of managing that money and helping these church plants to be successful. So, Pastor, that's all I have. But there is a card back there. There is a poster board that has some pictures also of them. But pray for Derek and Kristen Duvall and their family. And they're worshiping, you know, they're 2 hours behind us. So they're getting set up right now. They're setting up 200 chairs and they have nursery going on in a hallway. They have a youth program going on in an upper balcony. There's just, they take over that school. And in the next hour and a half or so, they'll be worshiping. So pray for them and continue to pray for them. But
for now, yes, they're set up in the school.
Every Sunday, yep.
And there's no objection after.
Well, that's interesting. It's a magnet school, and somehow Derek, my son-in-law, has gotten in pretty good with the principal there, and he has the liberty to do that. Yeah. Any other questions? Well, don't want to take away time from Pastor, but thank you, guys. We've been looking forward to coming here and talking to you guys, and it's a pleasure. I appreciate Randy. Randy's so excited about this church, and we've been talking about this for a couple months, so thank you for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
You know, I cannot imagine what it'd be like to be missionaries in Salt Lake City, witnessing and sharing with Mormon out there all the time. But I do know this much. Because of the religious doctrine that they're caught up in, that tells me one thing, is that they have a hunger for something. And as a result of having that hunger for something, that tells me they have a hunger for God. And as a missionary in those areas, to be able to go there and to be able to share Jesus with them would be a privilege beyond my imagination. Years ago, Karen and I were involved in a mission work out in Baltimore, and Linda and Dave were part of that. And we had to do the same thing on Sunday morning. We'd go set up a lot, and then we'd tear down and but it was an exciting time of our lives, and we created so many memories years back in reaching people in that community. And let me tell you this morning, and I know you already know this is all about Jesus. That's all it's about. I mean, we want to share Jesus with anyone and everyone that we get an opportunity to share Jesus with. I remember years back, and me and a deacon, we would go knocking on doors and just to share Jesus with people. And I remember one time the deacon of that church, even though he'd been a deacon for a long time, had never, ever led anyone to the Lord personally. And so we got into this person's house after we knocked on the door, and we went in and we began to talk with them a little bit about Jesus. And the lady there that morning said she wanted to receive Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And that morning we got down on our knees and we prayed, and she asked Christ to come in. And as she was asking Jesus to come into her heart, the deacon, he was off to the side on his knees. And this guy, he just started crying. And the tear, you know, that we kind of looked up and we kind of see what was going on. And he was just so excited about what was taking place at that moment in that person's life. And here's the thing that I have learned over the years, that if there's ever experiences that we were experiencing in life, it's always been said that there are two great experiences that we can experience. Experience number one is to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Once you receive Jesus as your Lord, you'll always look back on that and say, man, that was the greatest day of my life. I was sharing with someone this morning about whenever I came to know Jesus. I remember I walked outside of that church, and I was telling my wife, Karen, we were both real young, and I was so excited as to what had just taken place. I said, I'm never going to do this no more, and I'm never going to do that. I quit doing this, and I quit doing that. But reality sets in later on, and I realized that we're still in the flesh, and we struggled. But it has been, I don't know, 50-some years now, and it has been the most exciting journey that I have ever been on. Coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior is one of the greatest experiences you ever experienced in your life. The second thing is like that deacon did that morning, is to see someone else come to know Christ as their Savior and watch the change take place in their life as they come to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. And listen, those individuals on the mission field, that's what they're about, sharing Jesus. If I continue on with these stories, I remember one day we knocked on the door, and Jim Nelson and Lois was, as we knocked on the door, they opened up the door, and Jim and Lois, we'd never met them before. We stepped in and we said, hi, we're so-and-so, and we're from so-and-so. And Jim Nelson looked at me, and I think I might have shared this with you. Jim looked at me and he said, man, said, we have been waiting on you for over a year now. Where have you been? And I mean, and they both received Christ. And I remember Jim told me after he came to know Christ, he started coming to the church. He said, you know, what I really want to do is I want to get the courage to be able to come up in front of the church and just tell people my testimony as how I came to know Christ. And he was real backwards and shy. And it took maybe about a year or so before he finally got the courage to come out and share his testimony with the church. And he ended up becoming a deacon in the church. And that's been years back. And Lois has gone home to be with the Lord. But the thing of it is he was so excited about knowing Jesus. And here's the key. You and I have the key. You and I can share Jesus with people around us. Folks, listen, I don't know, being here about a year and a half now, I know this, that we're involved in the same thing that they're involved in out there in Utah, but in a different setting. And our job is to share Jesus with those around us. And I'm excited about what God is doing and is going to do here at this church in the week, months ahead. You're all excited. I see that. You share with us every week about how God's working, and we know that God can make a difference. God's good, isn't he? In Matthew 28:18, and this is from, I have to say this is from ahead because I'm one of those persons, I misplace things and I forget things, and I misplaced my Bible this morning. I've looked for it, but I can't find it anywhere. But in Matthew 28:18, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, this is a good thing. He said, go ye therefore into all the world. And he said, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I told you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. There it is. And then he talks about how all power was given unto him. And what that means to us is if we go into share Jesus with those around us, into the community, and so on and so forth, just to tell them about Jesus, is that we have the eternal God and his power behind us and backing us to make a difference in the life of the church, in the life of the community, in the life of people. God is good this morning, and God wants to work in the lives of this community. And folks, listen to me. We can make a difference. I like something that he did say, and he said, and that is this, the Mormons, and if they come, and we've had them in our homes in Bible studies, and if they come in their home, they come there with confidence, they come there with boldness to share their doctrine. And my thing is the same thing he said, that is, and if we go to share Jesus, we need to go sharing Jesus with confidence and with boldness because we have God. And Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me, meaning that if we hear people talk about religion, but what we have is we have what we call the truth, and that is reality, and that is Jesus, that is the way, and that is life. And folks, all God asks us to do is just be us, and share it with those around us. But be excited about it because God is able to make a difference. You know, in Romans 10:9-10, it said, if thou shalt confess to thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in thine heart, God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you'll see people make those confessions, and you'll see the light that flows into them, and you'll see them change when you share Jesus with them around you. Like I said earlier, my mother and Karen and I became Christians in 1972, and for 10 years, we would pray for our family members. I remember my brother told me one time, he was in a bar, and I had to go find him. I had his two kids for about 3 days, so I had to go get him. And he was sitting in the bar there, him and his wife. And I said, hey, listen, you know, we got your kids at home. You need to get home and get those kids. And then I began to preach to him in that bar. And I remember he got real mad and upset. He said, Ron, he said, that stuff is for you, but it's not for me. And leave me alone. Get out. Then I watched him come to know Jesus as his Savior years later. And I seen how the power of God worked in his life. And then I seen him become a minister, and he began to preach Jesus. And it's amazing when we allow God to work in our life. Amen. Isn't God good this morning? I tell you what, I don't know, but I could have sat and listened to this all day long. I really could, because I love to hear the story of how God is working in the world around us. Listen, we've got some good things going on here. The men's breakfast, I'm looking forward to that. And each one that is getting involved in the areas here at this church are choosing to take the initiative to start these things. And then as they start these things, they're actually beginning to step up and do the actual teaching in them things. I know Joe is going to deal with the men's breakfast. He shared earlier, and he's going to actually do the Bible study there. And I'm excited about that, to go and listen to what God's laid on his heart. And others, as God is moving amongst us. Didn't he get it? Folks, listen. Share Jesus, because Jesus is the truth, and he is the way to life everlasting. And here's another thing, then we'll close with this. The Bible says that if all that God asks us to do is just share his word, and he says, if you'll share my word, he said, my word will not go forth void, but he said, it will accomplish exactly what I intend for it to accomplish. And we have seen that time and time again. And you know that as well as I do. If his power has worked in your heart and your life, it's changed you because of his word that was shared with you. Amen. Share it with someone around us. Let's stand as we close in prayer this morning. Father, first of all, we pray for the missionaries that are sharing your word throughout this world. We pray, Father, because we know it's as the brother shared with us, it's sometimes a lonely thing. Sometimes it's a hard it's hard, but we realize that we're doing it for you. That even though it seems like we're alone, and sometimes it seems like it's just a lonely journey, we realize that you're there, leading, Father. We pray for them as they deal with the work that you called them to do. Give them the faith to stay committed to your call in their life. Give them the power to accomplish your will for their life. And Father, we pray for the ones in Salt Lake City. We pray, Father, that with wisdom, which we see and we through what's been shared this morning, how you have worked there. You've opened doors up that only you could do. And we know that that's your spirit at work there. And then, Father, as you continue to reach out in that area, I pray that you continue to open the doors and that you continue to provide all that is necessary there to reach those that are lost, those that you have called there. And, Father, we pray for the offering that will be taken up for the mission work that it will take place throughout the world. We pray, Father, that we will give boldly to that and that we will see many people come to know Christ, especially in the day that we live in. We live in a time where, Father, it's just, we know that the time is drawing near to the end when you will appear visibly. And help us, Father, to be excited to reach those around us, to tell them that you want to know them on a personal level. And Father, thank you for the church here. Continue to work. Continue to bless us. We love you and we praise you. And we just thank you in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.